In just a few weeks, the days of unleavened bread will be here. It's coming fast. The exact date of the beginning of the days of unleavened bread is Monday evening, April the 2nd. What have you done to prepare to get ready? What are you doing? Are you thinking about it? Maybe you're putting it off and saying, got plenty of time. By that evening, Monday evening, April the 2nd, all products with leavening in them should be out of our homes and off of our property, as we all know. Why do we do this every year? Some people think we're crazy, don't they? People who don't understand. With Easter coming up, here we focus on the New Testament Passover and the days of unleavened bread. Why? Why do we do this? Why do we believe what we believe? Let's take a look at that again today. Let's review why we do what we do, why we keep the days of unleavened bread, and how to prepare for them the way God would have us. Let's go to the book of Exodus, chapter 12. Exodus chapter 12. It's always a good thing every year to strengthen our faith, isn't it? To be able to give an answer to anybody that were to ask us. So this will be an overview, a brief overview, but I think you'll find it, again, because maybe it is shorter and more to the point. It makes it so clear from the Word of God that God's people in the Bible have always kept these days and holy days. Exodus 12, verses 1 through 3. The Lord spoke to Moses and Aaron in the land of Egypt. Remember, they were slaves there. And he said, this month shall be your beginning of months. And so we're approaching the spring month, time of spring. It shall be the first month of the year to you. It was the spring season. And so we know that God's year begins when the flowers, and you can see the flowers on the trees, the buds and the flowers and all, some of them peeking up, and a new year, a new life is beginning to come and spring forth. Shall be the first month of the year to you, the sacred year. Speak to all the congregation of Israel, saying, on the 10th day of this month, every man shall take for himself a lamb, according to the house of his father, a lamb for a household. I'll drop down to verses 6 through 8. And you shall keep it, that is that lamb, until the 14th day of the same month. Until that day begins. Keep that lamb until the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it at twilight. Now, a little later, I hope to have more time to go into that in more detail. But United believes and teaches and has a pretty thick research paper on all points of view of different people take on when this first Passover took place. And we believe the weight of evidence shows that this was the beginning of the 14th, not at the end of the 14th, which begins the night of the days of unleavened bread. Because remember, the 14th of the month is called the Lord's Passover. And it's called the Passover because the death angel passed over the children of Israel, and they were protected if they had the blood of the Lamb. And it was at midnight on the 14th that the death angel passed over and struck all of the firstborn of the Egyptians. And that's something you can dig into and study if you'd like, but that's not the point that I'm trying to make here. So we'll move on. Drop down to verse 11. And thus shall you eat it, with a belt on your waist, your sandals on your feet, your staff in your hand. You shall eat it in haste. It is the Lord's Passover, the 14th day of the month. For I will pass through the land of Egypt on that night, and I will strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast, and against all the gods of Egypt I will execute judgment. I am the Lord. We'll read on to verse 17. Now the blood shall be a sign for you on the houses where you are. And when I see the blood, I will pass over you. And the plague shall not be on you to destroy you when I strike the land of Egypt. Verse 14, so this day shall be to you a memorial, and you shall keep it as a feast. This was the Passover. The Passover day is called a feast day, a feast of the Lord, although it's not the first holy day. You shall keep it as a feast by an everlasting ordinance. 7 days shall you eat unleavened bread. On the first day, And if you read the context and put all the verses and all the scriptures together, it doesn't mean that you start putting the leavening out on the first day. It means by the first day it is to be out. That's very clear when you put scriptures together. For whoever eats unleavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that person shall be cut off from Israel. On the first day there will be a holy convocation, and on the seventh day a holy convocation. So two holy days during the days of unleavened bread, the first day and the seventh day. And no manner of work shall be done on them, but that which everyone must eat. It is okay to prepare food on those days. That only may be prepared by you. And then verse 17. So you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, for on this same day, that is the beginning, and when God began to bring them out of Egypt, and it was on the 15th by night, the scriptures say, I have brought your armies, that is your people, your hosts, out of the land of Egypt. Therefore you shall observe this day throughout your generations as an everlasting ordinance. Now, of course, most people today think this applies only to the Jewish people, you know, to the religious Jews who claim to be Jews. You know, they obviously don't understand who all the Israelites are, the 12 tribes of Israel, and where they were scattered and who they are today, and that God's word applies to all of God's people and to anyone who's called by God and becomes converted, spiritual Israelite. Chapter 13. Oh, pardon me, I wanted to read before I go to chapter 13. Notice verse 42. Exodus 12, verse 42. We drop down there, and it's talking about the beginning of the 15th, when God began to bring the Israelites out of Egypt. It says, it is a night of solemn observance to the Lord for bringing them out of the land of Egypt. This is that night of the Lord. So in the New King James, I don't know how it is in translation you're using it, but it actually calls it that night of the Lord. It's kind of a special day, special evening. Commemorates something very, very important when God Almighty intervened to deliver his people from slavery in Egypt, from sin. This is that night of the Lord, a solemn observance for all the children of Israel throughout their generations. And so we in the Church of God have a tradition, as you all know. It's the tradition of observing the night to be much remembered, the night of the Lord, when God brought his people out of Egypt, delivered them from sin, and the beginning of the days of unleavened bread. And so that's coming up. And as you know, what we encourage you to do as brethren, we're a pretty large congregation. Years ago, churches used to plan it so that we all kept that evening together. But now we encourage people, unless some of our congregations are so small, they can all do it together. Like over in Squim, on that night to be much observed, they're all going to be doing it together because there are only about a dozen of them. So we're encouraging you to meet together in your homes, to invite people over, or arrange a private room somewhere where you can have the privacy of fellowship and reviewing the scriptures and remembering what we're beginning to do, what we're entering into. You know, be thinking of that. How are you going to do that this year? How are you going to observe, as God's people have done down through the ages, that night of the Lord, night of solemn remembrance? Now chapter 13, verse 3. Moses said to the people, remember this day in which you went out of Egypt, out of the house of bondage. That's what we're to remember. For by strength of hand the Lord brought you out of this place. No leaven shall be eaten. You know, they were in such a hurry and get out that they had not leavened their dough. Drop down to verse 6. 7 days you shall eat unleavened bread. Verse 7, unleavened bread shall be eaten 7 days. No leavened bread shall be seen among you, nor shall leaven be seen among you in all your quarters. So some people, of course, don't understand again why. But, you know, we all know, we've all heard of spring house cleaning. You know, just about everybody knows that when spring comes, you kind of clean out your house and beat the rugs and do all kinds of things, spring cleaning. Wonder where that tradition came from. What do you think? You think maybe it came from God's people who were instructed by God, you know, clean out your house and get rid of all the leavening, even crumbs and pieces here and there, and get it off your property. Could be. Spring cleaning comes from keeping the days of unleavened bread. Maybe called by a different name today. People wouldn't connect it with this, would they? But it probably is. Verses 7 through 10. Read verse 7. And verse 8 says, you shall tell your son in that day, saying, this is done. In other words, we're doing this. We keep these days because of what the Lord did when for me when I came up from Egypt. And it shall be a sign to you on your hand and as a memorial between your eyes, that the Lord's law may be in your mouth. For with a strong hand the Lord God has brought you out of Egypt. You shall therefore keep this ordinance in its season from year to year. And that's what we do. We do it annually, don't we? From year to year. And here we are approaching this time of the year again. Let's go to Leviticus chapter 23. Now, we've kind of just quickly looked at the beginnings of the first Passover and days of unleavened bread. Let's go to Leviticus 23, well-known chapter in the Bible on the holy days and the feast days. We'll read verses 1 through 8. The Lord spoke to Moses, saying, speak to the children of Israel and say to them, the feasts of the Lord, which you shall proclaim to be holy convocations, these are my feasts. It's good to have that underline in there. They're not the Jews' feasts. They're not even Israel's feasts. They're God's feasts. 6 days shall work be done, but the seventh day is a Sabbath of solemn rest, a holy convocation. That's today. You shall do no work. It is a Sabbath of the Lord your God. And then verse 4. These are the feasts of the Lord, holy convocations, which you shall proclaim at their appointed times. And so it was up to the priests and the Levitical priesthood to determine the new moons. You know, when, you know, and you are, I don't know if you're ever you're watching the moon and noticing the moon and where it is and what's going on, but you'll notice we're approaching a full moon because the Passover and days of unleavened bread begin in the middle of the month, don't they? And at the beginning of the months, the moon is just going from fully dark. You start seeing the crescent of the moon. You start seeing the new moon. By the middle of the month, it's full. So we're approaching the middle of the month, middle of God's month, 14th, 15th of Nisan, and we're approaching a full moon. And God's servants, that was part of their job to observe this and blow the trumpets on the new moons, announcing the holy days. God's, as we'll see later, I'm going to get ahead of myself, but I just want to show you that even after Christ returns, the Bible talks about everybody on earth will be learning his holy days. They'll be proclaiming the weekly Sabbath and the new moons, the Sabbaths, the holy days of God. After Christ returns, we'll be educating the whole world. No, people don't understand them today. They can't. I couldn't until God opened my mind. This was weird. I mean, I grew up myself keeping Christmas and Easter and Halloween and all those things. And when I heard about, I mean, I didn't even hear about the Passover. It was communion I knew about. I didn't know the Passover. I said, that's Old Testament. I didn't know what the New Testament Passover was. Days of unleavened bread, boy, that was weird. What was that? And then God begins to help us understand they're in the Bible. They're his days. They have a tremendous meaning. Verse 5, on the 14th day of the first month at twilight is the Lord's Passover. And on the 15th day of the same month is a feast of unleavened bread to the Lord. So why are we doing it? We're doing it to obey God, serve God, worship God, learn from God, from his word, grow. 7 days you must eat unleavened bread. And there are many lessons to be learned, aren't there, by doing this? We'll see what it means as we move along. On the first day you will have a holy convocation and do no customary work. That means occupational work. We're not to do our regular jobs. but you shall offer an offering made by fire to the Lord. Now back then, under the Levitical priesthood, they were to offer sacrifices and they had rituals to do. But after the coming of Christ, we know in the New Testament, Paul, especially the book of Hebrews, explains that we no longer now have to do the rituals and the sacrifices. Christ was the Lamb of God. But that didn't do away with God's holy days. It just did away with the need for the rituals and the sacrifices. And the seventh day shall be a holy convocation, and you shall do no customary work on it. So that's why we announce them. These are holy days. And most of you, for many, many, many years now of your lives, have planned to take those holy days of God off. And if you need support from the church, if you need a letter from me as pastor, if you ever have any trouble with the Sabbath or holy days, just a quick reminder, I can write a letter for you. We have a church attorney who constantly during the holy day seasons, when people maybe are not being given time off, no, you can't have that day off. And we just have to let them know, look, this is for a valid, legitimate, spiritual, biblical reason. We are a church. Please allow a member of our congregation to have this day off. And they usually right away say, oh, okay. So if you need any help at any time, you know, just let us know. If you're having difficulty getting a Sabbath day off or a holy day off, Mr. Larry Darden, our church attorney, can write a letter on your behalf if you need support or help in any way. So we know what we're doing and we know why we're doing it. Go with me to Zechariah chapter 14. We're learning to do it now to keep these days because we've got to learn so we can teach others. When Christ comes back, we're going to have to get busy traveling all over the earth, teaching various nations of people about God, what we're learning now. We're going to teach them the truth. Zechariah chapter 14. We know this one very well, don't we? Zechariah 14. First of all, notice verse 9, just to remind us, this is an end time prophecy. The Lord shall be king over all the earth in that day. It shall be, the Lord is one and his name one. So Christ has returned. He's ruling from Jerusalem. Let's pick up in verse 16. And it shall come to pass that everyone who is left of all the nations that came against Jerusalem, you know, the end time conflict is going to take place at the return of Christ, the warring and the battling, and the nations even rebel and fight against Christ at his return. And those who are left alive after all of that shall go up from year to year to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, and to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. And it'll be that whichever of the families of the earth do not come up to Jerusalem to worship the King, the Lord of hosts, they'll get no rain. And if the family of Egypt will not go up and enter in, they will have no rain. They will receive the plague with which the Lord strikes the nations who do not come up to keep the Feast of Tabernacles. That's just one example. Now go with me to Isaiah 66. Isaiah chapter 66. It's not just the Feast of Tabernacles only. It's talking, that's just, you know, that's kind of the main fall festival, the big one that pictures the kingdom of God. But Isaiah chapter 66, notice just a couple of verses, verses 22 and 23. Again, obviously prophetic. For as the new heavens and the new earth, which I make, shall remain before me, says the Lord, so shall your descendants and your name remain. That is Israel. God will save Israel and preserve them and use them again. Notice verse 23. And it shall come to pass that from one new moon to another, you know, that's the beginning of the months. And the trumpets were blown at the beginning of each new moon, and God's servants would announce the holy day seasons according to the new moons. From one new moon to another, and from one Sabbath to another, all flesh shall come to worship before me, says the Lord. Just to give you a couple of places that anyone who believes in prophecy and the return of Christ, really, I don't have time to go to the book of Ezekiel, where chapters 40 through 46 are talking about a temple that will be built and Levitical priesthood reestablished after Christ comes to the earth. And again, it refers to the holy days being established in the kingdom of God for mankind. You and I will be spirit leaders, spirit beings at that time, ruling with Christ on the earth. But we'll be teaching all nations around the earth to keep all of God's holy days when Christ returns. Good reasons for us to be preparing ourselves, isn't it, brethren? Let's go to the New Testament as I begin to wrap this up now. Luke chapter 2. Let's look at the New Testament. We're looking at why we believe what we believe and why we do what we do. Luke chapter 2, verses 40 through 43. Speaking of Jesus, the child grew and became strong in spirit, filled with wisdom, and the grace of God was upon him. His parents went to Jerusalem every year, the feast of the Passover. Jesus grew up doing it, keeping these days. And when he was 12 years old, they went up to Jerusalem according to the custom of the feast. And when they had finished the days of unleavened bread, which follow the Passover, as they returned, the boy Jesus lingered behind in Jerusalem. And you all know that story. But my point here is that Jesus, our Lord and Savior, grew up keeping the days of unleavened bread and the Passover with his parents. As a child, they were just there with them, and when they be 12 years old, you know, was kind of the age that they were accepted and entered accepted as adults, responsible at that age. So he did it his whole life. Notice Luke 22. Luke chapter 22, at the end of his life, what he said. For me, you know, one of the easy things to try to help people when family members ask what I do, one of the things is, well, Jesus did it. You know, they have that saying, what would Jesus do? Well, Jesus did it. Jesus kept God's holy days. That's what he did his whole life. And one of the last ones that he kept was the Passover. Luke 22, verse 14. And when the hour had come, he sat down and the 12 apostles with him. And he said to them, with fervent desire, I have desired to eat this Passover. Notice he called it Passover. And he instituted the New Testament Passover symbols of the cup of wine and the bread at this time. I've desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer, before I die. For I say to you, I will no longer eat of it, which he had been doing every year. I will no longer eat of it until it is fulfilled in the kingdom of God. And he took the cup and gave thanks. Take this, divide it among yourselves. For I say unto you, verse 18, I will not drink of the fruit of the vine, it was real wine, until the kingdom of God comes. What is Christ going to be doing when the kingdom of God comes? We're going to be doing this with Jesus Christ. In verse 19, he took bread, and it was unleavened bread. It was flat bread, not necessarily hard like the Rye Crisp type bread that we use, but they used a soft unleavened bread. Many of you may have that during the days as well, a soft unleavened bread where they could even wipe the bowl or use it to eat with. And he took bread and gave thanks and broke it and gave to them, saying, this is my body, which is given for you. Do this in remembrance of me. So, brethren, you and I understand God's plan. We take the New Testament Passover service, which reminds us of the suffering and death of Christ, what he did for us. And then we follow that with 7 days of unleavened bread, which reminds us that we, with God's help in our lives and through Christ, that we are to, for the rest of our lives, you know, after we have made that commitment in baptism to give our lives to God, to do our best to serve and obey him in the flesh, that for the rest of our lives we are going to do battle with sin, that we're not going to just give in to it easily. Now, we will sin, we're human. We all will struggle with that the rest of our lives. But the days of unleavened bread remind us of 7 days completion of a lifetime of growing and overcoming and putting sin out of our lives. It's a lifetime battle and a lifetime struggle. And we do so but the power and the help of Jesus Christ living in us. That's what the days of unleavened bread are all about. That we can only put sin out of our lives as we learn how to let Jesus Christ live in us, inside us, spiritually, and give us internal power and internal motivation to never give up, to keep doing battle. So we do it because Jesus did it. It's a good reason, isn't it? And we do it, as you all know, because Jesus taught his disciples to do it. Only two more scriptures. 1 Corinthians 5, verses 6 through 8. This is 55 AD. And here it is, the Apostle Paul writing to primarily a Gentile church. There were Jews in the congregation in Corinth, but it was predominantly Greeks and other Gentiles. They weren't Jews. And here he is teaching these Gentile Christians that they should observe the Passover and days of unleavened bread. Let's pick it up, 1 Corinthians 5, verse 6. Corinthian congregations had a lot of problems, a lot of bad attitudes among them. And those, as you know, those letters were written by an apostle who had to exert his authority and give correction. And that's what he's doing here. He said, you're glorying. You know, your vanity and ego is not good. Don't you know that a little leaven, NIV says yeast. And you know, a little leaven, a little yeast leavens the whole lump. You know, we all know how attitudes spread to other people. We all know how somebody can affect you and, you know, get you off base, if you allow them to. A little leaven, a little wrong attitude, a little sin can leaven a lot of people, infect others. Therefore, he says in verse 7, purge out, clean out, it could be translated, clean out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. Now, some people try to spiritualize these verses away, and say they don't really mean they were really keeping the days of unleavened bread. It just means you're supposed to have that kind of an attitude. Well, sure, it does mean that. But when Paul said to the Corinthians, get rid of the rotten attitudes you have, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened, you know, he was talking physically there, not spiritually. They were not spiritually unleavened at all. They had been taught to keep the days of unleavened bread. But they weren't learning the lessons of getting rid of rotten attitudes and wrong attitudes and just all humbling ourselves before our God and all knowing we're all sinners and we all need God's mercy and love and grace. And he goes on, for indeed Christ our Passover was sacrificed for us. Verse 8, therefore, let us keep the feast, specifically referring to the feast of unleavened bread, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. That is the attitude in which the days of unleavened bread should be kept. So, brethren, why do we believe what we believe? Because it's in the Bible from Old Testament to New Testament. And when Christ our Savior comes back to this earth, God's holy days and festivals are going to be taught to all peoples on the face of the earth. And so we do it so that we can truly learn to understand the meaning of these days and be able to sit down with human beings in the world tomorrow when they ask us, teach me of your God. Teach me of these holy days of your God. For those days are coming, aren't they? So the Feast of Unleavened Bread is about learning to put sin out of our lives by putting Christ into our lives. And those days are coming rapidly. So I just want to encourage you all, remind you all, as you think and pray and meditate and prepare to take the Passover service, and remember, even if you're not baptized yet, you may come and sit and observe the Passover service that we keep. That is permissible. But it is for those who have been baptized, which means they have made that commitment to God and have given their lives to God, have made that formal commitment and decision, I accept Jesus Christ as my Lord and Savior, and I've repented of my sins, I want his blood to blot out my sins, and they've been baptized, which symbolizes the burial of all their sins, and they come up out of that water, a new person, forgiven. And so the Passover service is for those who are old enough and mature enough spiritually who've made that commitment to God. There's a right time to make that commitment in your life and to take the Passover service of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. And we all come and take that Passover service because we need it, because we're sinners, not because we're perfect. And then we also plan and begin to keep the days of unleavened bread because we want to get rid of sin in our lives, don't we, brethren? I don't think there's any one of you here who likes some things about your life. I know there are things in my life I still want to change and with God's help, get rid of. And so that's what these days are all about. We have wonderful, wonderful reasons, don't we, for what we believe and why we do what we do.